Hey, everybody. This is Doug Robertson of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution with another edition of the Southern Fried Soccer Podcast. It is May 9th, and in this edition, we are going to recap Atlanta United's 3-0 victory against Charlotte Independence in the U.S. Open Cup and preview Saturday's MLS match against D.C. United at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You're going to hear twice from Gonzalo Pineda. You're going to hear from Nick Firmino, Daniel Rios. They combined for the 3 goals against Charlotte Independence. And Noah Cobb, who's going to preview facing Christian Benteke on Saturday. It's a 7:30 p.m., so 7:35, 7:39 kickoff on that one on MLS Season Pass. Or you can follow my coverage on Twitter at Doug Robertson AJC or on Facebook at Atlanta United News Now. I'm also going to answer your questions about Atlanta United, and there's some good ones again this week, so thank you for that. If this is your first time listening to us, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so that you never miss an episode. This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over 4 decades. An AJC original. The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
And we're back. First, we're going to recap the 3-0 victory against Charlotte Independence. Atlanta United just announced that the next game against Charleston is going to be on May 21st. That'll be at Patriots Point Park in Charleston. Going to talk to my boss about how we're going to get there. But let's go through the audio. Charlotte, it was a decent match. Firmino scored twice as the attacking midfielder. Rios scored the final time, a good reward for him. Charlotte didn't really try to play a whole lot. They were more comfortable just kind of staying behind the ball. I don't know if they were trying to get to penalty kicks or just trying to sneak a goal, which is, you know, not a bad strategy when you're a team that's outmanned. Most Atlanta United players played well, I thought. Charlotte ran a back five, three with wing backs that were slightly higher than the center backs. This is a back line formation that Atlanta United has had a lot of trouble breaking down in recent weeks. So I was curious from Pineda, first, how well they executed against Charlotte, and second, about the 3 goals against that back five.
You come with a group of players that probably never played together, never. And the cohesion and all these things is at times difficult to play against a team that, regardless of the level, regardless of where they play, they were 8 games unbeaten, 7 victories in a row almost. So it is never easy. And against a team that is compact, that is willing to do the work, it's never easy to have that cohesion movement. So I felt like in the first half we were lacking a little bit of that cohesion, which for me was normal. The sub with Stian also altered a little bit the game plan, and we finished with a lot of kids in a moment we were not designing that. We wanted a little bit of balance with Josh, with Ronald, Stian, Dax, and Daniel Rio, some stability with some experienced guys around the bunch of kids. With that saying, I think the second half they were a little bit better. They were starting to move the ball better, creating some good chances, very good chances. And once the first goal happened, I think we were better, a little bit more confident. I'm happy about the couple assists we get with Caleb, Shande, Nick Firmino scoring a goal, Daniel Rios. I think that was pretty good. Clean sheet achieved as a team, not just by the good saves that probably Josh can do, but I think the team did very well, denying many, many chances of the opponent. So I think it was a good performance, can be improved, but I think at the moment we are, I think it was a good, solid performance. Yes, I think you are right when you face certain depends of how the opponent plays the back line of five, right? At times depends of how they shift over, how the center backs press, how the wing backs press. At times there are back line of five that at times end up being back threes and the two wing backs are very aggressive. So depends of that, it's always difficult to break. The more numbers on the back is the more difficult to break, and especially when they play a low block. I think at times against these type of teams, maybe we create a little bit less chances, but we need to be clinical. And once we score the first goal, now it's a different story because they have to open up. I think in a couple games that you have seen with us against back fives, whether it was Cincinnati or Minnesota, I think we create some chances. And if we score those, the game is different. Right. Like Minnesota, we create a few, but we couldn't score. And then they are more strong in those moments because we're not scoring 60 minutes and they have some motivation to keep going with that game plan, and the opposite side is we get a little bit of pressure on that. So in those moments, if we cannot succeed at scoring goals, we are creating the chances, we are denying many chances for the opponent. We just need to be patient and understand that at some point it's gonna happen, and don't go into that inner pressure that we put in ourselves and start to do desperate moves, because that's where we're in a bad position to defend counters.
Now, one of the things that Pineda talked to us about on Monday, this was after the loss on Saturday, was about simplifying things, trying to get back to basics, get the guys some, increase their confidence. And I wanted to know from Firmino if things, the tactics were simpler, the instructions were simpler, and how they helped.
Yes, I think, like you said, going back to the basics of football, you know, passing and moving, defending as a team, attacking as a team. And I thought we simplified it today, created a lot of chances, and, you know, we're happy with the clean sheet as well, not only the three goals, but, yeah, on to the next round.
And here's Firmino on how to keep this momentum going, especially considering most of the guys who started against Charlotte Independence will not be starting against DC United. That group included Josh Cohen. It included Efrain Morales, other guys who aren't going to start on Saturday. Dax McCarty, Rios, Firmino, Luke Brennan was one winger. That's just a few of them.
I think keeping the same principles, you know, working hard for each other, simplifying the game a bit. We've been in, you know, a tough run of form recently, and, you know, hopefully this sparks some wins for us.
And then lastly, we had Rios, who scored the final goal. It was a good work for him. He was trying to occupy those three center backs all night. He didn't have a lot of space to work with, but he ended up getting that final goal. So that's two goals and an assist for him since he joined Atlanta United. I was curious from him when he started to feel some cohesion with the teammates on the field, many of whom he's never played with before.
Yeah, I agree with Pineda. I haven't played with these guys, with my teammates. I believe it's the first time with most of them in a, you know, in a real game. And I felt it in the first half. Obviously, my job is in the attacking, the final third, and they were like missing that last pass from my movement. And it got better during the game, mostly in the second half. So it's part of the game, and they were young players too. I believe Ashton is 16 years old, and I joined a few guys over there. So it's really good result for us.
And then I was also curious from Daniel. In one of his first interviews, he talked about the challenge of trying to get settled in Atlanta, especially when you're coming from Mexico, and just the long list of things you've got to get done, especially before his family arrives.
Yes, obviously. The first months, it was really hard. It probably most of the guys don't know, but moving even a different city, but now different country and language and food and this and housing and furniture or the car. I mean, it's a countless list. It's a lot of stuff. And in the beginning, it was really, really tough. My wife was away in Mexico, so I had to do everything. But now I'll say last Friday, it was the first Amazon package that I received. So I'll say I'm settled now. I'm happy that now I can enjoy and rest in my house after training and be more focused.
Today, before all the rains came, we spoke with Noah Cobb. We thought Steen Gregerson were probably going to start on Saturday, but he is in concussion protocol. He's going to be out for Saturday's game. He suffered the concussion in the first half against Charlotte Independence. So now Noah is going to step in, likely beside Lewis Abram, going against Christian Benteke, a veteran, a savvy, a physical striker who as he goes, DC goes. If you can slow down Benteke, you'll usually win the game. But here's Cobb talking about playing Benteke.
With Steen out, looks like you're in line to start on Saturday facing Benteke. Just talk about that challenge and how do you try to defend a guy like that?
I mean, I think everyone knows who he is. You know, I grew up watching him play when he was mainly at Palace, I guess. We know what type of player he is. He's a big number nine, really good in the air, really good on set pieces. And I'm just gonna have to pick my battles. I'm gonna have to be smart with it, and me and the back line are gonna have to just, you know, if one goes, one's gonna have to cover for the flick on header or whatever it is. But I think we're ready.
Now, after the Charlotte Independence match, Pineda was talking about the young kids and how well they played, and talking about Ashton Gordon, just turned 17, a homegrown. Really, he's not even playing with the twos yet. He's still mostly playing with the 17s. Talking about why he started that match, and then he drew a comparison to Noah Cobb. Pineda put him in against Pachuca, and I think it was the AmFam made-up cup game a long time ago, just for him to get that experience. And I wanted to know from Noah what he remembers about that match.
Yeah, I mean, I was playing center back, and I remember, I'm going to be honest, I remember not thinking too much. Like, I was like, I didn't really know, like, because that was my first time, it was my first time playing the Benz, and it was like, everything was moving so fast, like, it felt like almost like a video game, and I remember not really thinking too much. I was just, you know, and maybe that was a good thing that I wasn't thinking too much. I was just going out there and, you know, see ball, try to win ball. That was kind of my attitude. So I think definitely that experience helped me in knowing what it's like to get out there in that environment and know you can do it.
And here's Pineda talking about the keys to defending Benteke.
Number one, having more the ball than them. I think that's a good way. Number two, having certain protections tactically, some fundamentals on defending, how to defend against those type of strong target strikers, you know, how we can compete better, how we can help each other in that area, denying services, putting pressure on the ball so they don't have a clear path for them to find them. So there are multiple ways we can try to minimize, but at some point we know some services are going to come in and he's very, very impactful once he's inside the box. So we just need to be alert to every single detail, trying to do well.
If he considers Benteke a unique challenge in Major League Soccer?
I don't know. It's hard for me to target him as something like that. I think he's a great player. He's been really, really impactful this year. I think the system they put in place this year, he's very helpful for that style. But I would say, for example, we have also tremendous number nine, Yorgos Giakoumakis, that he's not just a target guy. He can be a target guy, but also he can score, he can link up play, he can run in the channel. So I think as much as we can think in ways how we can minimize Benteke, they have to think different ways how they can minimize Giakoumakis. So it's, right, in that sense, an even game.
And if you got to watch the Charleston versus Tormenta match, that was played last night, that would be Wednesday night. Charleston won with a goal in like the 120th or 121st minute to go 3-2. So Atlanta United again is going to play there May 21st in the next round of the U.S. Open Cup. Those two teams have a long, long history. I was there last time they were supposed to play a U.S. Open Cup match and drove there only to find out that the field was unplayable. Spent the night in the hotel, turned around, drove back that morning, and eventually the game was moved to Atlanta United, to Kennesaw, and they played there. But here's Pineda talking about if you watched last night's match.
Yeah, no, it was an interesting game. The first half, I started to watch, I think, around the 20th minute when I arrived home. And Charleston was already winning, and then Tormenta came back. They had some good plays. Charleston, interesting. The right winger, very interesting. The nine can score goals. Mm-hmm. And then they went to the overtime. I think it was interesting. Maybe a PK there that could have gone for Tormenta, who knows. Good game, good intensity. I remember Charleston since my days. It was the first game I think I played with Sounders in preseason in 2014 was, I think, against Charleston. So I remember that.
When we come back, we're going to get in the mailbag. This is Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
All right, we've got an all-star offer for our Southern Fried Soccer listeners. For a limited time, pay $1.25 a week, and you can get the AJC. Just go to ajc.com/BSP. AJC.com/BSP. Quick programming update. Most of you know that Sunday is Mother's Day. Most of you know Atlanta United plays DC United the night before. Most of you know that Atlanta United is going to go to Cincinnati next Wednesday to play. So rather than have a post-game podcast after the match on Saturday and then a preview podcast for Cincinnati in a very, very short period, we are simply going to combine them and publish on Monday afternoon. We're going to have access again with Atlanta United Monday morning. So it just made sense to me, rather than to split something that probably should be just one into two, forcing me to talk even more, we're just going to combine them into one. So look for the DC United recap and Cincinnati preview in one podcast. And happy Mother's Day to your mothers, your grandmothers, your godmothers, your wives, your aunts, anyone who's been a mother figure in your life. To get into the mailbag, Ben and Sherry say, Tuesday night's U.S. Open match was certainly the most entertaining game for United fans in quite some time. I realize that there are limits to the lessons one can take from defeating a side two levels below the home team, but it was still encouraging to see a Five Stripes contingent playing with energy and aggression for a full 90, avoiding mental lapses and finishing attacks. There were a number of excellent individual performances for Atlanta, but two in particular seem like candidates to immediately address problems in the starting 11. McCarty in place of Muyamba. What you lose in speed might be compensated by better decision-making and leadership in the midfield. I haven't had any issues with Tristan's play. Some of you have. I'm not seeing what you're seeing. I think McCarty is a more than capable player, but I think Muyamba covers a lot of ground, probably more ground than McCarty could cover. So, I mean, I could see it against certain opponents, but I don't think Muyamba should lose his starting spot. And he says, Firmino at left wing, why not give Firmino a shot? Well, he's not a left wing. He's an attacking midfielder. He played attacking midfielder against Charlotte. I don't think he has the speed to really threaten defenses on the left wing. I think he's a very good attacking midfielder. He found good pockets of space on those two goals. It was good work on the first goal against Charlotte by Dax McCarty, who started the play. And then Dax made a run to the near post, ran over the pass that went to Firmino for the shot. But that run froze the center backs for a half second, which gave Firmino the space and the time to pick a shot. Thanks, as always, for your fine coverage, even if I don't carry a pen to games. Bennett asked me for a pen Tuesday night. They're friends of the podcast, so thank you for the question. Tim, another friend of the podcast, says, how many things do you think Atlanta United should have been able to fix all at once? Problems we know of: unsustainable roster building, almost no analytics, defensive problems, the culture was in a shambles. I don't know how far back you're going on some of these things, Tim. Coffee sip. Atlanta United did have some analytics, but they wanted more. The unsustainable roster building, I think, is... That it's kind of an accurate description. A lot just goes back to some of the players they signed not really working out like they thought. Defensive problems, yep, I agree with that. The culture, I don't know if the culture was in a shambles. I think morale was low. The culture definitely could have been improved, but I don't know if it was in a shambles. He says, any one of those things will drag a club down, and the front office is doing a great job in fixing it all. But Pineda's the problem? ? Think of all these long-term issues, then add current injuries, and we got a DP spot open. The team does it, but I can understand the confusion about that. Steen Gregerson is the last DP. It's not going great, but rock bottom was 18 months, almost 2 years ago. No. This is, I also feel like you really hit on something when he called out the SEC fans for only having one way of operating, fire the coach. Now, it's so, you know, Pineda was talking to us about this again today. Atlanta United's numbers, the ingredients for success, chances created, big chances created, shots on goal, shots, limiting opponents, big chances created, et cetera, are all in Atlanta United's favor. But the most important stat, the wins and losses, right now isn't in Atlanta United's favor. I believe in probability. I believe in math. So I do think that this is going to swing and Atlanta United is going to start to get wins. As I said, following the Minnesota loss, I understand your frustration, especially when the results aren't positive. Pineda is equally frustrated, but I believe that he also believes in the numbers and knows they're going to turn around. It's also why I've explained why Thiago's goals and assists are down this year compared to last year, because many of the goals he was scoring last year were low probability, high excitement goals, but ones that really can't be replicated, with the exception of a few players in the world. And while Thiago is a fantastic player, he's not Lionel Messi-esque. But he will score more goals, he will get more assists, but they may not be like they were last year. On to the next question. I'm going to take a coffee sip. Before the podcast started, Daniel and I were discussing what would be my 1970s pop music singer name, and I said Doug Danger. So I would love to hear you make up your own pop music names for yourself for the 1970s, or if you want to come up with another era, send them to me and I'll read them on the air. It's a fun exercise. Ron says, two questions concerning our younger players. First, let's say Pineda decided he wanted Brennan, or really any twos player for that matter, permanently on the first team. What is the process for making that happen? Well, technically, Brennan is already on the first team. He has a homegrown contract. He is just on loan with Atlanta United 2 so they can get a lot of experience. If you're talking about a player who does not have a homegrown contract, who is on the twos, it's simply a matter of the team having a slot open and then signing that player to a first-team contract, similar to what the team did with Nick Firmino last year. They announced the contract. They announced that it was going to be starting for this season, and it did. It's not a whole lot more complicated than that. Ron continues, second, despite his lack of first-team experience, is Cobb nearing the point where he might challenge for a starting position even if Gregerson and Williams are healthy? It's a good question. You know, you could see from the play, you could say, yes, he could challenge. I think it would take something, just a really long, poor run for Williams or Gregerson to lose their starting spot. Cobb is the future center back for Atlanta United. I think Efrain Morales is another future center back. We got to see them play against Charlotte Independence. But Williams and Gregerson were brought in to help this team win this year. They have the experience. They have the physicality. They have the height. Now they just got to get back on the field. I think you'll probably see Gregerson next week, maybe even as soon as Cincinnati. I think Williams probably is still maybe at Nashville making a game day roster, maybe. He's still not training with the team. He's just doing individual training. I'm just going by my experience with Atlanta United timelines as to what is probable. Ron continues, and by the way, my younger son's birthday just happened, and we got him a Carvel ice cream cake. Wow, I get it now. Well, happy birthday to your son. I don't know his name, but please tell him that the Southern Fried Soccer podcast family wishes him the happiest of birthdays. David says, I have two thoughts and questions. We have talked about lack of production in front of goal, but I really don't think this is a Pineda issue. We just aren't finishing. Watching the highlights of the Minnesota match, there were at least two set plays or corners that got good looks that weren't converted. Is this a player issue or just laws of averages that will get us there eventually? Well, as I discussed earlier, it's just probability. And if you keep doing the same thing and you keep getting 99% good results or whatever percentage you want to use, as long as there's an established trend of this happening, yeah, then you'll get that 1% and it'll start happening. So yes, I do think it's going to start happening. And I think you're right. Finishing isn't a Pineda issue. It's on the players to do so. Atlanta United, statistically, if you go back and look at certain stats, created much, much better chances than Minnesota, but Atlanta United didn't finish them, and Minnesota did. Minnesota actually didn't even create a very good chance. They just got, again, kind of goals from gifts. He continues, are the front office and scouting department and coaches on the same page about playing style? Yes, they are. If not, and we don't perform, who is at fault? Well, it just depends on the types of results. If Atlanta United were getting rolled and badly outplayed, then I think you put that on the players and Pineda. If it's the players they're bringing in simply can't execute, and it's clear to everyone that they can't execute, then it's on perhaps the scouts and the analysts and the players, because something is just not clicking. But with one exception, I don't think it's ever just been one manager's fault what's happened. He says, I really enjoyed your Star Wars references last week. Thanks. I tried to put a few in, a few little cookies for y'all who read the stories. I was curious to see if anyone noticed. Thank you for noticing. And Eric with a K with our question of the week. He always asks good questions. They're always a little bit wacky, and I love the wacky. Eric says, I meant to applaud your episode with Kelly O'Hara, but then I watched the Minnesota debacle and, well, I forgot. That is understandable. So in the better late than never category, that was a great interview. Kudos. Well, thank you. Here's my somewhat related question, Eric says. If you had the chance to bring any current or former Atlanta United player or coach on the pod for a long-form interview, who would you choose? Why would you choose him? And what question would you most want answered? Yes, I realize that's three questions. So this is an interesting theoretical situation. It depends. If they're going to be 100% absolutely truthful, I'd want Barco. So many questions to ask Barco. If it's going to be the typical Barco response from when he was with the team, then no, I wouldn't waste my time nor his. In that case, it would be interesting, again, totally honest answers. Frank DeBoer, I think, would be fantastic. Heinze would be really, really fantastic. But this would have to be 100% honest answers. So if you want honesty up to the line of brutal honesty, then probably Parkhurst coming in just to ask about some behind-the-scenes stuff and things like that. Another fun one that some of you might would have an interest in would be Andrew Carlton. But again, it all depends upon, are they going to be absolutely, you know, stripped down to nothing but honesty type answers. But I would love to hear your answers to that question. So if you want to send them in, I'll read them on the next podcast. All right, that's going to wrap up this edition. Please remember to tell your friends and your mothers, since it's Mother's Day on Sunday, about our show. Please give us a rating and a review on Spotify and Apple. That's what helps us grow the podcast. So we'll probably do the same thing again next week because they come back from Cincinnati and they go to Nashville. So we'll probably combine those two into one podcast. Going to try to make that a short podcast because I'm driving to Carrollton next Friday from my son's high school graduation. Congrats to my boy, Will. And then his birthday is Sunday, so we're having a party on Saturday to celebrate both. And my dad's birthday and my niece's birthday. It'll be a whole shindig. As always, hug your loved ones. Communicate with your loved ones. My mom is in the hospital right now for a recurring issue. And so I need to reach out to her. Follow my own advice. I went and saw her the past 2 days. But if you know someone who you think might be in a bad spot, just reach out and tell them, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm here for you. Can I do something for you? It's empathy. It's awareness. It's a good thing. Thanks for listening to Southern Fried Soccer from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.